Can I change tack on you? And we were talking earlier about the kind of a question now asking whether it's in archives or libraries or whatever is the impact of the digital revolution on our work. And before we started recording, you were saying actually it's, you know, the IHR was really ahead of the game in some senses on this in terms of getting in on that. Could you perhaps elaborate a bit on what you would say is the main impact of the digital revolution?
We got in probably before it was called a revolution. I think the White House opened its website in February 1993, and we were a few weeks later in March 1993 with IHR Info. And I think what we did at the outset, as far as I understand, is simply just migrate a lot of our listings into a digital format. The big breakthrough came in the early 2000s, when with a large grant from the Andrew Mellon Foundation of New York, we were able to start digitizing quite a large part of our resources, our pre-1800 resources. And over time, that's become a very valuable resource. So I think, like a lot of other educational providers, we were there at the digitization end of things. Here's a resource that people have been used to picking off the shelf and reading. They can now see it online. And I think we were probably a little ahead of the game, but we were doing that kind of bulk digitization that a lot of other organizations were doing in the late 90s, early 2000s. But it did mean that we became very expert fairly quickly. And so as each wave of new technology on the digital humanities has come forward, we've been able to take advantage of it. So now we're very involved, for example, in advising on web archiving. So in 30 or 40 years' time, the historical record that people will begin to be using is one that is based on web materials. How do you collect it? How do you archive it? How do you catalogue it? How do you make it available? And along with TNA, the British Library, various other archives and libraries, we're very involved in that. We're also particularly interested as researchers in how the web is changing what we do, how as we move away from, or we move, perhaps it's along a continuum, from a kind of pencil and paper mode of research to one where most of the resource and most of the communication is via the internet. What does that do to our thinking and our methodologies as historians? And so we are doing that in a number of ways. We're looking at collaborative editing, textual editing. We're looking at crowdsourced research activities where you have basically an open access research project that a lot of people then get involved with. How do you police that? How do you peer review that? And increasingly, we're looking at virtual delivery for our events. So in this sort of mode, audio podcast, but also via video podcast, which has an interactive facility, so people can be watching the seminar from the comfort of their desktop, living room, whatever time of night or day, across the time zones of the world, and they can type in questions which contribute to the seminar. We've been running a pilot on that the last year or so, and it's going very well so far.
Wow.
So for us, we see like many people, virtual delivery, the digital revolution, as a huge opportunity to speed up and expand what we do. But at the same time, as custodians, if you like, of the historical research profession, we're very concerned about the impact that digital delivery has on the standards and the protocols of research. How do you maintain the integrity and the high scholarly standards that our profession is used to in an age where, and in an environment where, there are very few rules out there?
Yes, sounds fascinating.
We're not setting the rules, but I think we are seen as a space, a forum, a place where these debates and discussions can take place.